lives, enrich our spirit and our minds, and just help us to keep after it, to keep pursuing him. So we'll start with 1 Corinthians 1:30. So in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And I guess that would be our Savior right there, and the expression of what he is to us and his love towards us. But he, in Christ, again, in Christ, he has made to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So tonight I'm going to talk about wisdom and righteousness, and I don't know if we'll talk about sanctification and redemption, but to start with, Jesus is our wisdom. And I guess you could put it another way. We just need to know one thing, and that's Jesus. That's it. All we need to know is that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. All of this entire thing means one thing. Jesus loves me. The whole entire, all these words, everything, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, every aspect of this is Jesus loves me. That's it. Jesus loves me. How awesome is that? And so he's made our wisdom, and we just need to know that one thing. And I'm not going to try and describe like all the different aspects of wisdom and everything. But we'll go to James 3:17. In James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." That's Jesus. Again, it's Jesus. If you're trying to figure it out and get that wisdom, hey, it's Jesus. But I want to point out in this, not necessarily about all the different things it is, because Jesus is everything to us. He is so much more than that word wisdom than we could ever even understand. He is absolutely everything to us. But I want to point out here that the wisdom that is above, that is from above, it's from above. And that's, the wisdom of God is so different than our wisdom. When we think about our wisdom in the natural sense, we think about intellect and intelligence. And if we think about, people that have existed or are alive today, we think about their accomplishments and the thoughts that they have and the things that they have imagined and then brought to life. And I think sometimes about, like, when I'm thinking of a great mind, you know, Einstein, the guy was brilliant. He was an absolute genius. But I don't know if the guy was wise. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him personally. I don't know if he was a wise person, per se. But he was very intelligent. And I think about, like, today, currently, Elon Musk, right? He's a very smart guy, has a lot of business acumen. He was able to create this really amazing business and then launch rockets in the sky and do all these different things and create electric vehicles. I don't know if he's wise either. And even in a natural sense, I don't know. And then there's guys that have existed like Oppenheimer that created the atomic bomb. Like, he orchestrated that whole thing where he got a bunch of people together and they're gonna make this bomb. And I think he had all the intellect there, but I don't know if going into it, he had the understanding of what that would do. I mean, I think afterwards he said that, you know, he looked at the gravity of the situation of this bomb that they had just made and this thing that could literally destroy everything. And that's what they did. And I think looking back at it, he would say because of the circumstances, maybe somebody was going to develop that first and so I had to jump in. But right now I'm comparing these very, very smart people and their accomplishments and maybe looking at their lives and what their lives led up to, which was just nothing and dust. Where was the wisdom in their lives? I don't know. I don't know that you could say they had a lot of wisdom. They just kind of had this acumen of how to apply their intelligence. And then I think about, you know, in this world we have these savants, and there's a specific word for it, but there's people that have this natural born ability that they don't need anything to kind of do something. You know, it might be a musician, a painter, might be somebody that really, they don't need any ability, like any training per se, to do something. They have this like natural talent. And would you say that they're wise, even though they can do a lot of things? Do they have a lot of knowledge of it, or do they just do? And so a lot of times we look at these people and in terms of their accomplishments, that's how we kind of judge the aspects of their lives and what they're doing. And you know, ultimately, we say in this world, you need to gain a lot of knowledge, a lot of know-how, because that knowledge is power. You need to gain understanding of things, because then once you can apply them, you'll have a lot of ability. But really, all that knowledge, all that ability that you're trying to look for adds up to nothing. And God can take literally somebody that knows nothing and achieve the same thing that somebody that knows absolutely everything because of his purpose. He doesn't necessarily need to have all that, I guess you could say, head knowledge or the technical know-how of how to do something. He can take the most simple thing, the most absolute base thing, and exalt it above the thing that knows everything, the most technically sound, perfect thing from our human understanding. Because that's him. That's his ability. And if we look at all this stuff, I think about it in terms of grace. And really, we are savants, and the word that is used is idiot savants, and it's not really the right word to say, because the people that could do things without necessarily like that natural ability, they might have had autism or something, and so you don't want to necessarily say that, but I would say that, you know, I will be an idiot for God. I'm okay with that. And God has made me and us a savant of grace. We don't need to have a whole technical knowledge of how grace works. It just works. And we have the ability in grace for all things. Everything that we would ever need. And really, with grace, there's no reason why we should have it. There's no reason why we deserve it. It doesn't make sense from a natural standpoint that we could operate in this grace and be in God's grace and do anything. But we do. Every day we do. And in that grace, Jesus was made our wisdom. And that's where it all starts, is that Jesus is our wisdom. When we believed on Jesus as our Savior, he came into our heart. and we became a new creature. Our old flesh, our body, everything was crucified with him, and we were given a new life. And in this new life, we were given a new heart. And in that new heart is Jesus, and is that wisdom, the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus put wisdom in our heart. And I'm going to kind of describe that in a little bit of, several different ways. So in Exodus 35, 25, we'll start there. It says in Exodus 35, 25, "And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." And this is talking about just all the things, the little things and gifts of the people and things that were being created for that tabernacle, being built up. And if we go a little bit further to 35:30, it says, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ashmach, of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath filled with wisdom of the heart, to work in all manner of work, of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work." And so we see here that God put wisdom in their hearts so that they could do anything. Jesus, who was made wisdom for us, is in our hearts so that we can do anything. But God had a specific purpose for all these people. He put the specific thing that he wanted from them into their heart. It wasn't into their head. That aspect of having to craft something or weave together those things, it wasn't something that they even had to learn or be taught. It was just, "I'm going to put this in your heart. I'm going to put it right in your heart." And he does that for us. That wisdom, it's there, right now. And God is a God of increase. He is a God of abundance, overflowing, infinite, abounding grace. And when we desire wisdom, when wisdom is there, it compounds. And we can look in 2 Chronicles 1:11. And so this is Solomon. 2 Chronicles 1:11, it says, "And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. He is given that and then some. So that wisdom, to ask for wisdom that Solomon had, was already in his heart. God put it there. God put that desire in Solomon's heart to ask for wisdom. He didn't have that intellect in his mind to say, oh, I know what I'll ask from God that'll give me the most stuff, the most things, that I'll get all these things. I know how to ask right. I know how to go to the Lord in the right way in my mind. God put a desire in his heart for wisdom. That was in there. That was in there. That desire to know more and to know him more, that was in his heart, and God put it there. We look, turn to 2 Chronicles 9, 23. And how do I know that God put it there? And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. So all of this, and we talk about it a lot, like not having this head knowledge, you know, knowing with your knower. I think that was Brother Golden's sermon that he gave at a convention once. But that understanding, that wisdom, all that, it happens in the heart. It doesn't happen in our minds. We're never going to get it with our intellect. It's never going to make sense. We can technically know something so well, and it will mean nothing. But if we desire, that can make it everything. We need to know with our heart. And I think about that in the natural sense in sports or whatever. Like, there are people, coaches, people watching TV that know everything about a sport. Like football just started. There are people that know all the stats, that, you know, have all the understanding of the rules, every player, whatever it might be, and they have all that knowledge. But if you actually asked them, like gave them a football and needed them to go play football, they would have no idea what they would be doing out there. I mean, it would be kind of comical to see them actually try and play. And then if you put them out there in like an actual game and like wanted to see them do that, that would be kind of dangerous, actually. But then we compare like pro athletes to pro athletes, and there's people that are so gifted and maybe have the intelligence to understand a game like football, but their desire isn't there. And they will never be a champion. You see them all the time throughout sport where they have the natural ability, they have the fundamentals, they can run fast. They're the fastest runner. But yet their career is nothing because they don't have any desire for it. They have the ability, but they don't have the desire. Lord, give us that desire. In Psalm 49:3, it says, and our brother David says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There is such a connection there with wisdom and our heart. That is the home of our Lord. Jesus is made unto us wisdom. in Proverbs 2:10, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thine soul." Knowing him more in our heart, not in our head, is the most pleasure we will ever have in this life. That pleasant, it's satisfying. You feel unsatisfied? Desire to know him. Because that knowledge is going to satisfy your soul. Proverbs 14:33. There's a lot of proverbs about wisdom. And honestly, I feel like a big dummy talking about wisdom up here because I feel like, I don't know. But I have grace. I'm that savant of grace. I know what I know, which is Jesus loves me. And that's it. Proverbs 14:33. Okay. "Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known." So when we know that Jesus is in our heart, we are. Are you not at rest? Jesus is in your heart. How could we not be at rest? But if we're not at rest, if we're foolish, the things of our heart are going to be made known. That stuff is going to come out. It can't help but get out there. So, knowing that Jesus is in our heart, why did God put that wisdom, put Jesus, give us that wisdom in our heart? Why did it go there? So in Proverbs 24:3, we'll turn a little bit over. 24:3. "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by the knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." So he put that in there. He put Jesus in there. He put that wisdom in our hearts to build something. He is building us up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Acts 20:32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So right there, he is building us up. That heart that is a place, that home for Jesus, he put that wisdom in there to build that place up. And why? To give us that inheritance among all of the saints. That specific inheritance. That joint company inheritance. That man and wife inheritance. So we'll just read that. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. He is building us up in the inner man. It's never going to be out here. If you feel like it's building up out here, if things are building up out here, better look in. Because it's not going to happen out there. And that's okay. And actually, that's beyond okay. Because when I know Jesus is in there, I am satisfied. That pleasure that knowledge creates, that satisfaction, there is nothing on the outside that compares to that. So we're building. And so we'll look at what Paul has to say about this knowledge. So 1 Corinthians 2:1. And let's keep building. First Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech. I did not come to you guys in the excellency of speech right there. I apologize. Or even wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. I am determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ. Tonight, I am determined that that's all I need to know is Jesus. I don't need to know anything but that. I don't need to know anything but his love. I don't need to understand anything but that he loves me. And then he gave everything for me that I may know him. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. In that demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that can't be seen with eyes. If you're looking to see the demonstration of Spirit and power with your eyes, you missed it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God. That power is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor in the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And I think about that hidden wisdom and that place where he put it, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I know he saw my heart in eternity's past, and he put that wisdom in there. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is freely given to us of God? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is given to us. He is those things. He is all those things. He is every single one of those things. He is everything. which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. We have to see these things in the Spirit. Amen. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that's not in our mind. That's in our heart. That is in our heart. And Paul has just gone through all this. We need instruction. We need that Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit. These things that are not learned, God hath revealed them. It's revelation. We're not going to understand this by 1 + 1 = 2. It's just 2. It's just 2. That's the answer. You get all the answers to the test. They're revealed to you. You don't have to look at it and work out the problem. It's just like, there it is. Boom. We need that instruction, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we need that wisdom. And Solomon, that guy, he was the wisest of them all. But Jesus is greater. And that wisdom is ours. Jesus is ours. He is ours right now. He is ours right at this moment. And I think about this moment. And I think about this time. And Jesus and the Father, he is holding back time for us right now. He is holding back time. If that doesn't resonate with you, time is up. Time has been up. It was finished at the cross. That was done. Time was ready to just go. And he's holding it back. The Father is holding it back. He's holding it back for me, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable even to his death. He's holding it back for me to know him more. He's holding it back for you. He's holding back all time. Time is ready to wrap up. It's done. This time is done. And he's holding it in his hand and saying, I'm holding this back so that you could know him more. In that fullness, in that measure, in that stature, to grow into that perfect man. It's going to happen. And when that's done, that time is done. Hallelujah. It's done. If by any means he is holding that time back, then I may obtain to that resurrection. It was finished at the cross. And he's holding back that time for one purpose. His bride, his purchased possession. He bought you. He bought you, and he's going to redeem you. And with that, he's made our righteousness. And I'm going to stop it right there, because I'm out of time. Maybe it's a little bit early, but I think I'm going to wrap up there. I hope it's been a blessing.